And all these attacks against these UK retailers, they all used social engineering to infiltrate the systems and carry out these attacks.
You can write much better emails much, much faster if you use AI tools specifically aimed at specific demographics, right? I mean, it's not rocket science. I mean, you can go there and sure, you might have to edit a bit more, but you can go there and you can create very, very triggering emails is how I would describe it.
Welcome to Influential Visions. Here we interview futuristic leaders who share their deep industry knowledge and business experience with you, ensuring you have your finger on the pulse and your eyes wide open. Here is your host, Nathaniel Schooler.
Wow. Well, cyber attacks and infrastructure disruptions are rife at the moment, and they've got worse and worse over the last 18 months to 2 years. And I am joined by Lisa Ventura, MBE, and we're going to dig deep into this huge topic, actually. So thank you, Lisa. I appreciate you joining me. Always good to speak with you.
You too, Nat. It's an absolute pleasure to be here today to talk about this. It's been a very interesting few weeks on that front, particularly here in the UK. So looking forward to sort of digging into this and how what's going on here in the UK could easily happen, you know, globally. It's not just a UK-centric thing, for sure.
It's actually quite devastating, really. I mean, when businesses can't take payments for even one day, I mean, they must lose custom. And you know, with this always on lifestyle, this always on mentality of you have to have it yesterday. I mean, look, here in Croatia, things are different. I mean, if I order an Amazon or eBay, it could take 10 days for it to arrive, right? So it's a bit different here in terms of that. But if I was ordering from a local retailer who was normally giving me next day delivery or 2 days delivery, I would be devastated if I wanted to order certainly some food. I mean, as one example, you said when we were talking earlier, you were talking about Marks and Spencer and what happened in April 2025. I mean, that's a big thing, right? What actually happened there then, Lisa?
So to start with, they became impacted by a ransomware attack, and it's thought that that attack came through one of their third parties. And as a result, it absolutely crippled all their systems. So all their online orders were halted. Their operations were disrupted. They couldn't get a lot of their orders into stores across the UK. They also had shortages as well of much of, you know, what they sold, you know, online and in stores. And a lot of customer data was also stolen in this ransomware attack. And the sort of data that was compromised were things like names, contact details, dates of birth, and the order histories of people. So if they'd ordered, you know, various pieces of clothing, or they'd ordered cakes, or, you know, anything from Marks and Spencer's, that was also compromised and exposed, but not passwords or full payment details. And this breach actually happened on the 25th of April. And online orders have been halted since then. And I've just been to check, literally as we've been talking, on the Marks and Spencer website, and they are still halted and still paused. So even today, we're almost a month from when it happened. So 25th of April it happened. We're now the 21st of May. You still can't order online using the Marks and Spencer website. And even for me, I was, you know, saying to you earlier that I'm a huge fan of Marks and Spencer in terms of, you know, certain products. There are only some certain things from there, and I will get them from Marks and Spencer's above any other retailer. And I needed some new things of a certain item So I went on the Marks & Spencer website last weekend to order them and obviously couldn't do it. So I had to make a trip, a special trip into my local Marks & Spencer's in Worcester to specifically get those items in store because I just couldn't order them online. It wasn't just Marks & Spencer's that were impacted by a cyber attack. Around the same time, the Co-op here in the UK was also suffered a breach. That was in late April. And that was where hackers accessed personal data of up to 20 million members at the Co-op. And stores, again, across the UK experienced some quite stark stock shortages that have only been resolved in the last, I would say, just a week or so, and also had payment disruptions due to system shutdowns. And then, if that wasn't enough, in early May, Harrods detected an attempted cyber attack. But the difference there was that they managed to thwart the attack. They cut off and shut everything down, and thereby they avoided data loss and disruption. And it's also looking likely that it was the same group that that did the attack with Marks & Spencer, the Co-op, and Harrods, which is a group called Dragon Force, which is linked to Scattered Spider. So, you know, these groups are out there and they are targeting, you know, not just in the UK, it's clear, you know, I need to be clear about this. You know, these kind of groups are operating, you know, 24/7, and they're trying to get into organizations to inflict the amount of damage we've seen, you know, at Marks & Spencer and the Co-op in organizations all over the world. So it is a massive problem, that for sure.
Interesting. It's interesting, the psychology of all of this. I mean, is it because they want to manipulate share prices and buy shares, so then when they go up eventually that they make money? Or is it just because they want to get hired by firms to do penetration testing? What are the actual reasons, do you think? Or just do they just want to hack?
Number one reason, not money. I think a lot of it is down to money, because they will then start demanding, you know, a ransom, hence the term, you know, ransomware attack. There's a huge debate as well in terms of, you know, should organizations, you know, pay a ransom to get their data back? And there's also a debate around cyber insurance as well. An officialish line is that you shouldn't pay a ransom, but it's so easy to do that when you're so impacted and want to, you know, get access to your systems back as quickly as possible. And all these attacks against these UK retailers, they all used social engineering to infiltrate the systems and carry out these attacks. And social engineering is a term that covers malicious activities that will exploit human psychology to trick individuals into divulging sensitive information or performing actions that will compromise their organization's security. Right. And it's a really strong manipulation technique because hackers will use that human interaction and trust in order to gain that access and information. And that's where we often find it, through those really deceptive methods like phishing emails or smishing with text messages. So, you know, those emails that are designed to look like they've come, you know, from Marks & Spencer's, for example, but they're anything but. And then obviously people will fall, you know, and click on links, and that will take them to malicious you know, websites. Things will then get downloaded and installed, and that's when the ransomware attacks can happen.
Yeah. I mean, look, from where I'm sitting, I don't think it's really a surprise that there are more and more of these phishing emails, due to the fact that actually you can write much better emails much, much faster if you use AI tools specifically aimed at specific demographics, right? I mean, it's not, it's not rocket science. I mean, you can go there and sure, you might have to edit a bit more, but you can go there and you can create very, very triggering emails is how I would describe it. And, you know, it's not fun for the people that are dealing with these things. But so Harrods succeeded in early detection and isolation. Why do you think they managed to? How do you think they managed to succeed in detecting this? Did someone turn around and say, well, I've seen an email, there's an email going around the business, this is what it's doing, etc.? Or how did that play out?
Well, they shut as soon as their systems detected that there was an intrusion in early May. They cut off internet access, they shut everything down, and thereby they avoided that data loss and disruption. It's not 100% clear yet why Marks and Spencer's actually became victim to this kind of cyber attack. Why their systems didn't thwart it? Why it didn't detect it as easy, or if it did, why they didn't act or shut down more quickly? Similar for the co-op as well. Mm. I think Harrods just might have been a lot quicker. And plus, there was a lot in the press going on and talk around Marks and Spencer's and the co-op as soon as it happened. So it might just be that by the time it got to the co-op, they were just a lot more sort of clued up and probably on heightened alert. As well as to what was going on.
Right, right. It's very interesting. I mean, you mentioned that something happened in Spain and Portugal with power outages. I mean, I definitely believe that power outages in some cases are cyber related, because someone pushes a button to turn on and off power, right? And if they can do that electronically, why can't that be hacked, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And so towards the end of April in Spain and Portugal, both countries experienced really significant and widespread power outages, actually over multiple days as well. And these power outages affected hospitals, public transport, digital infrastructure. So flights were cancelled and grounded, trains ground to a halt. Hospitals couldn't perform procedures or surgery or so on. And it had a massive, massive impact on both countries. In addition to that, there was talk that on the UK's national grid, just before these power outages in Spain and Portugal, there was some sort of detection or some sort of flicker or something that happened on the UK national grid. But it didn't develop into anything, and it certainly didn't develop into anything as widespread as what happened in Spain and Portugal. And official causes of what happened are still under investigation, and it's still a bit up for debate. The media was very clear to say that these outages were not the result of a cyber attack. But I'm also really mindful as well of, I don't know if you, I'm sure you may have seen and heard of the film, the Italian Job from the 1960s with Michael Caine.
Yeah.
And how they bring Turin to a halt is they literally just pull the plug out of the power, takes out all the cameras, takes out all the electric, the infrastructure, and everything just grinds to a halt so they can go in, grab what they want and get out of Turin. I mean, it could be just something as, it's sabotage like that. Who knows?
It could be anything. And you know what the press are like. I don't believe the press
exactly
at all, really, these days. They've completely discredited themselves, including the BBC, including all of these large organizations. I find them, they just spread fake news to a huge level, right? And that's that's another thing, right, that is highly related to all of this. So in terms of the London Underground outage, I don't think I even heard about that, actually.
Absolutely.
So that's an electrical outage.
Yeah, it was indeed. So on May the 6th, The London underground system was halted on many of the lines, you know, across the capital in the UK, including the Elizabeth line, you know, the District line, all the main tube lines were also, you know, were impacted. And, you know, this was down to a failure in the signalling and control network. And though it was officially attributed to a technical failure, again, there's been some talk within the cybersecurity arena that it could have been a potential malware attack or activity within transport control systems. But again, that is not an official thing that happened. But very strange, you know, from my point of view, you know, we had Marks and Spencer's on the 25th of April, closely followed by the Co-op, closely followed by Harrods, who managed to thwart and stop the attack in its tracks. We also had the power outages in Spain and Portugal and the disruption to the London Underground on May the 6th. It builds a picture. And while, as I said, I can't say that the power outages in Spain and Portugal and in the London Underground were to do with a cyber attack, just putting it all together as a picture, it just seemed very strange that all of this has happened at pretty much the same time in the space of, you know, a couple of weeks.
It's certainly very interesting, certainly with a lot of these global events that are happening, a lot of the wars, a lot of these meetings, yeah. A lot of, you know, the stock market action. So many things that actually could be related. I mean, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I do think that there are masses of things that we just don't know, basically.
Yeah,
absolutely masses of things. So yeah, it's certainly very worrying, I must say. So yeah, so in terms of the reasons that these are related, you think it's to do with supply chain, third party platforms? What do you think the reasons are?
Absolutely. I mean, while there's no conclusive evidence, as I said earlier, that's, you know, been released that links the power outages in Spain and Portugal and on the London Underground to what happened with the Dragon Force Scattered Spider campaign. You know, there are some sort of key similarities, and it could be, you know, as we said earlier, it's obviously around getting as, you know, they want to get as much money as possible. They want to hold that data to ransom, so to speak, and also just to, you know, create as much disruption as possible as well. And the timing, the scale, and the cross-sector, you know, nature of these disruptions, as I mentioned, it has led to some growing speculation about whether this is a coordinated or state-backed campaign that's testing the UK and European resilience. And, you know, some of the shared characteristics of this is that all of these things occurred within, you know, literally a few weeks of each other. And they all targeted the critical national infrastructure as well. So that's things like energy, transport, and retail. And they also possibly exploited vulnerable third-party platforms and shared supply chain systems. So, as you said, you know, looking at that, looking at getting into that supply chain, causing as much disruption as possible, and then that cascades down into all the organizations involved in that supply chain. And these attacks, as well, also involved social engineering and insider impersonation tactics.
Right.
And one of the things as well that's been reported in the media over here, but again, as we talked, you know, just now about taking a lot of what's reported in the media with a pinch of salt, is that Marks and Spencer's apparently didn't have a resilience plan in place. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. It's certainly something that's been reported in the press that they didn't actually have a resilience plan or a plan in place for how to deal with a cyber attack of this nature. And I know a lot of the people that work in cyber at Marks and Spencer's, And oh my goodness, they will have, I can't even begin to imagine the impact that all of this will have had on them. They'll have probably been working, you know, day in, day out, nights without sleep, impact on their mental health. You know, and we really do need to stop and think about that whole mental health and well-being, you know, aspect. And as you know, Nat, I talk about that a lot. And this is a classic example of where it's so important to look out for people, you know, when they're in the midst of an attack of this nature, and make sure that they are okay and that they've got access to, you know, talking therapies, mental health first aid, and so on. So important.
Wow. So the stress and the worry can be, you know, I mean, they might actually be under the illusion that it will kill their career, some of these people as well. You know,
absolutely.
When really, it's not a matter of like if you're going to be hacked. It's just a matter of when. Yeah. And then it's just a matter of minimizing the damage, right? I mean, that's in essence what we're really doing here. Once you know, if we can't stop the attack and detect it there and then we're kind of at a point of mopping it up, right? And having a communications plan and all sorts of things like that. So how can organizations protect themselves immediately then?
Yeah, absolutely. So there are a lot of broader implications and things that organizations can learn from these incidents. And the first thing I will say is, and you've just said it yourself, Nat, it is not a matter of if you're going to be impacted by a cyber attack. It is more of a matter of when. And in terms of being able to be more like Harrods and actually detect it, thwart it, and stop it in its tracks, having things in place, you know, looking at all the different you know, tools and aspects and things that you can use for that, becomes, you know, a lot more critical and highly essential. And even today in 2025, I talk to a lot of smaller scale businesses and smaller scale SMEs that all, you know, I have these conversations where they'll go to me, well, we're too small, so we don't need to be worried about a cyber attack because a hacker's not going to bother with us. And I just cringe when I hear this because I think, whoa. So let's assume for one second that what you've just said is true. You're too small to be of interest to a hacker. That's absolutely not true at all, because a hacker will just go for any and all, you know, businesses, no matter what size, one-man bands, micro, SME, you name it, they'll try. And assume for one second that that's true, even though we know it isn't. How can you be sure that your supply chain and the organizations that you do business with are as secure as they can be? And if they get impacted by a cyber attack, how can you be sure that that's not going to cascade down to your business? So for me, some of the things that we can learn from these incidents is cybersecurity is a global resilience issue, and it's not just a business concern. And you need to be as sure as you can be that your supply chain and shared vendor risk is, you know, fully scrutinized and up to the task. Attackers today are now cross-sectorial. So, you know, they'll hit the critical national infrastructure and they'll target retail, energy, transport in tandem. And I think we've seen evidence of that in the last few weeks. And also public and private collaboration. And I talk about collaboration a lot within the cybersecurity industry. That's crucial for real-time threat intelligence sharing. And in terms as well of how organizations can protect themselves, you know, immediately, there's some basics that every organization, no matter what size they are, can do. I would say look at the national cyber, if you're in the UK, look at the National Cybersecurity Centre's 10 Steps to Cybersecurity, and look at doing things like implementing multi-factor authentication and strong identity verification, especially if you're working on help desks, for example. Train your employees on spotting social engineering red flags. So, you know, roll out that cyber awareness training. Look at doing things like cyber escape rooms. Look at phishing email simulations. train them to spot those emails that might be social engineering red flags. Segment your networks and prepare offline backups as well. And one of the most important, develop and test incident response plans. It's not just enough to have an incident response plan or a business continuity plan. You need to regularly test those plans as well. Monitor your suppliers and conduct cyber risk assessments on your third parties. And I would also urge, especially those listening that are in the UK, go for your Cyber Essentials and Cyber Essentials Plus certification, because that can give you a really good, strong overview of how secure your systems will be. And Cyber Essentials has been specifically put together for those smaller businesses to help you be a lot more cyber resilient. And if you go through Cyber Essentials, you also get a certain level of cybersecurity insurance when you achieve the Cyber Essentials certification. It's not a huge thing, but it's certainly better than having absolutely nothing. So definitely, if you're in the UK, go through Cyber Essentials. And if you're listening from anywhere else in the world, look at what your equivalents are in your individual territories.
But we also need to remember that we don't want to think everything is a cyber attack. I mean, for example, I just told one of my devices to turn on my power. I didn't realize that my laptop was not plugged in, right? And then everything went black. And if I was paranoid, I would actually be like, oh no, I'm under a cyber attack. And then when I tried to log back in, I couldn't get my speakers to work. But it's like, look, glitches occur in software. There is user error. People do make mistakes. People do forget things. But we need to just be vigilant, right, and be aware, so then we can actually get the best outcomes for ourselves.
Absolutely. And you know, like you said, not everything is a cyber attack. And that's why I've been really careful throughout this conversation with you, Nat, to stress that while those power outages in Spain and Portugal on the London Underground, the official line is that they weren't cyber attacks. Yeah, all these systems are run by humans, and humans do make mistakes. And it could just be as simple as a power cable has come out somewhere or something. It could literally be as simple as that. And you're absolutely right. Not everything is a cyber attack. But just be vigilant, you know, just watch, you know, closely, keep an eye on those emails. Don't click on anything that you don't know or you don't recognize, and so on. And just try to be as safe as you can be when working online.
Yeah, it's not easy when we get multiple, you know, maybe hundreds of emails a day, and some of them come with files. Some of them come with reports for our domain. There's so many things that actually hit our inbox. We certainly need to be vigilant, but also we need, if something isn't necessary to actually click on, don't click on it. Don't read. Yeah, it's not necessary in many cases. So, yeah, I want to thank you so much, Lisa. Really appreciate your support. And also, if people want to go to MondayInfluencer.com, we will drop links for that when we share this. And I want to thank you for supporting us. And if anyone wants to check that out, check out MondayInfluencer.com. You just go to MondayInfluencer.com. Clearly.
Thank you, Nat. It's been a pleasure to speak to you today.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for listening to Influential Visions. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen. Thanks.